So from 5962, the heavenly state is such that spirits and angels pass through morning, midday, and evening, also twilight and morning again, and so on. For them it is morning when the Lord is present, blessing them with evident happiness, and at this time they enjoy a perception of good. Midday has come when they dwell in the light of truths, and it is evening when they are removed from them, in which case the Lord seems to them to be more remote and to be concealed from them. All in heaven undergo and pass through these alternating states. Without them, they cannot be led to ever greater perfection. For those alternating states establish contrasts for them, and from those contrasts they gain more perfect perception, for from those contrasts they know what does not constitute happiness, since they know from them what is not good and what is not true. And just the next little section. It is astonishing, and rightly so, that one state never is or ever will be exactly like another. Also that one spirit or angel does not pass through changes of state that are the same as those of another, for the reason that with respect to good and truth, one spirit or angel is not exactly like another, even as no one person's face is identical to another's. Even so, the Lord makes a unified whole out of all those varying individuals. It is a general rule that every whole which has any specific character is made up of varying parts which are brought, as if through agreement and harmony with one another, into such a state of unanimity that they all present themselves as a unified whole. And then just this little section here. This is 5963. For quarreling with others is an absence of peace because there is disturbance of mind. The varying states in the next life, which are referred to immediately above, are determined by the perception of goodness and truth among those there, and so by their perception of the Lord's presence. That perception determines the degree of peace they enjoy, for those who have a perception of the Lord's presence also have a perception that every single thing that happens to them is conducive to their own welfare, and that no evil influences can reach them. This is what gives them the peace they enjoy. Without such faith or trust in the Lord, no one can ever attain that peace, nor accordingly the bliss which joy brings, since that bliss resides within such peace. So in Logopraxis, what we're learning to do is to trust in the process, not in our ability to control things. That's the key, of course. So other forms of spirituality would offer something structured and say, just hang on to this, believe this, and you'll be fine. So it's more structurally orientated, whereas this work is more process orientated. And you can only trust the process by being in the process. So you can only trust the Lord through having the experience of Him bringing you through the process, or the word bringing you through, because you see these things happening inside you, like you see these alternations of state, and when you pass through alternations of state and come through the other side, that's what builds trust in the text or the Lord or the word to be able to carry you through. And so then you shift in terms of your sense of security. It moves from having to have everything nailed down. So then your security rests in the process, in the Lord, in that, because that's what brings us to the end He has in view for us, not us having it all nailed down. So even when we are in a movement away, as described here, of angels entering those kinds of states as well, and they're not in heaven when they're in those states, when they're in the state of the opprobrium, because heaven is a state, not a place. So when those shifts and changes occur, they have to deal with, as we do, what arises in them. And that's the important thing. That's what moves things forward. So I really like the idea that was shared around heaven is really the constant change, and hell is wanting to fix everything and make it rigid so that we can own it and have a handle on it. Well, you know, what this work shows is that the process involves fluidity, a constant recasting of our sense of self as new truths are acquired and worked into our life. Yes, the Lord does updates. I'm pretty sure he does software updates continually, and then we get a major update every now and again, and it is always about constant renewal. I find that the updates happen over the 2 weeks, right? that a lot more insights come. I'm sure you've all read Heaven and Hell before, or parts of it, and yet here we are again being updated. So it's really about changes in state of reception that open things up. And while truth, as it is, the divine truth, never changes, but our reception of it does. And that looks like it's changing. And so from our perspective, we're always undergoing change. And that change will occur, as I said before, throughout to eternity. That's what growth and development is. So it's coming, I guess, this is a tall order for any of us, but it's coming to accept, as that number in 5963 said, that times of more externalized peace, times of disruption and turmoil, they're the same. The Lord holds the whole picture. We're only in that slither of the experience of the moment. But in the whole scheme of things, there's an end in view. And it's just about being able to trust in whatever state that's arising that the Lord will bring us through. And I think that's what the word describes, you know, like if you look at the sacred scriptures, you start off in the garden and you end up with the New Jerusalem descending. And there's a whole lot of movements up and down and crises and all of that. But the end is the descent of the New Jerusalem, the establishment of what is of the Lord within the human mind. That is the end in view. And the only way to get there is to pass through from Genesis to Revelation. Another thing we talk about in Logopraxis is that you're on the shortest route possible. The Lord has us on the shortest route possible. So there are no shortcuts, right? And these ideas help. They really do help because they hold us in the difficult times. And just being in the group, hearing about other people's experience, this is why it's so important that we bring the experience we've had, because we need it. We all need it because it's what supports us through this process. And it builds a sense of spiritual connection and community as well. And that's what real spiritual community is. It's focused on the process that's involved in bringing us into a new sense of self that's grounded in what is of the Lord.